Dr. William R. Glay, Senior Pastor of Bethany Baptist Church in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. As the founder and CEO of the Anchored in Jesus radio broadcast, I am grateful that you are listening to us either on WYYC AM and WYYC FM. As a thank you for tuning into our program, we invite you to go to our website, www.anchoredinjesus.org, and subscribe to our weekly devotional. Everyone who subscribes will receive a brochure that I wrote entitled The Bible and Alcohol. The promotion will run from now through October the 13th. At the end of the promotion, we will be having a drawing, randomly picking two names. Each of these two individuals will receive one of my books entitled Heaven Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow. Also, we would love to hear from you. Please go to our website and leave a comment. We look forward to hearing from you. God bless you.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us for the first half of the Tabernacle Golden Candlestick from our series, Let Your Glory Fill This Place. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half.
All right, if you can, I'm going to ask that you would stand as we read the Word of God today, if you can. So Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covered the meeting tent, and the glory of the Lord filled the holy tent. Moses could not go into the meeting tent because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord had filled the holy tent. When the cloud rose from the holy tent, the Israelites would begin to travel. But when the cloud stayed on the holy tent, the people did not try to move. They stayed in that place until the cloud rose. So the cloud of the Lord was over the holy tent during the day, and at night there was a fire in the cloud, so all the Israelites could see the cloud while they traveled. And so we've been in a series entitled, Let Your Glory Fill This Place. All right, we are going to begin by looking at the overview of the tabernacle. So as we look at the overview of the tabernacle, you can see that at the bottom on the left is the gate. And this is where the worshipers would enter into the tabernacle area. This was called the outer court. And so in the outer court, the first piece of furniture that they would interact with would be the brazen altar. And this is where they offered the sacrifices at. And then the next piece is what we looked at last week, was the bronze laver. And this is where the priest would wash in order to purify and cleanse themselves for service. Then we move into, so keep in mind, as we lay out the structure of the tabernacle, there was the outer court, and that's where the altar was and the laver was. That was the outer court. And now we are moving from the outer court, and we are moving into what is known as the holy place. And so in the holy place, you can see that there are three items in the holy place. There's the lampstand, there's the altar of incense, and then there's the table of showbread. And this is in the holy place. And then in a couple weeks, we're going to reach that awesome place. We're going to reach that place where only the high priest could go, and he could only go once a year. And that was called the Holy of Holies. And back in the Holy of Holies, that's where the Ark of the Covenant was. That's where the mercy seat was at. And so that's the layout of the tabernacle. So today we are moving from the outer court, and we are moving into the holy place. And as we move into the holy place, the instrument, the furniture that we are looking at now is the golden candlestick. So today's message, as we look at Today's message is about illumination. Today's message is about illumination. And illumination deals with the light shining in the darkness. If you go back to that previous slide, just real quick, if you would go back to it. So as you look at the holy place, the PowerPoint slide actually removes the covering that's over the holy place so that we can look inside. But, you know, these coverings were badger skins and all type of skins. And so it would actually be pitch dark in the hole. You couldn't see anything. And so what does God do as he lays out the tabernacle? God says to what? Put a candlestick in there so that there might be light. So what does the candlestick represent? The candlestick represents light in the midst of dark. Oh, my goodness. It represents light in the midst of darkness. So today's message is about illumination. Saints, we live in a dark world. We live in a dark world. And as I think about this dark world, now, you know, there's a lot of good things going on in this world. Life-wise, is something that's good that's going on, trying to bring some light, right? But we, saints, overall, we live in a dark world. And this is what I would characterize by four D's. The four D's. And the first one is devil. And according to 2 Corinthians 4:4, the devil is the god of this world. Now, we know that the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they who dwell therein. We understand all that. We know that. But as far as the systems of this world are concerned, Satan is the god of the world systems. And so the fact that he's the god, I like what Martin Luther wrote in the song, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. He said, the prince, watch this now. Y'all might, if you know this song, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, he referred to the devil in there. And what did he refer? The prince of darkness grim. We tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, though low his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. So Martin Luther referred to Satan as the prince of darkness grim. And so this world is going to be a dark place because the devil is the god of this world. Secondly, we see that this world is a dark place because of the death that's going on in the world today. Cain, the Bible tells us in 1 John 3:12 that he was the first murderer, that he killed his brother Abel. He was the first murderer, and death has reigned, according to Romans chapter 5, ever since then, when Adam sinned, death has reigned. And that's why we see these mass shootings. It seems like every day, every week, that we're seeing a mass shooting. Why is it? Because death is in this world, and death is a part of the darkness of this world. How somebody can just cold-bloodedly go and take another person's life, or even how that they can take multiple lives and think nothing of it. And we know that there's a lot of issues that go into making that happen, but the fact is that death is ruling on this earth. And because death is ruling on this earth, that makes it a dark place. We see that dirt is a part of the darkness of this world. The deeds of mankind are evil, according to John 3:19. And we're going to look at that verse a little bit later. The deeds of mankind are evil. You know, when you think of such things as human trafficking and how that men will kidnap little boys and little girls and even teenage girls and boys and sell them on the market for money. Man, that's just evil. That's just low down. That's just dirty, right? But that's the world. That, man, it's unbelievable that you have to think of a world that has that type of thing going on in it. Dirt. And then, according to Paul in Romans 3:16, he says the unrighteous ways are filled with destruction, just destroying things. So we need illumination. We need illumination in this world because this world is a dark place. And the four D's show us how dark this world is. And so this brings us to this piece of furniture called the golden candlestick. As you look at the word candlestick, it's the Hebrew word, and some of you probably have heard of this word before. It's the Hebrew word menorah, right? And so when Moses, when God tells Moses to make this candlestick, the word that he used there was menorah, that you should make this menorah. Now, as of a lot of pieces of furniture, we have the exact measurements. This one right here, we don't have the measurements, but in your notes, I think I referenced that. Let me make sure about that. Yeah, it says that according to tradition, it was about 5 feet tall and 3.5 feet wide. So the Bible does not necessarily say what the dimensions were, but tradition gives that to us. So as you look at the candlestick, you can see that there's a shaft that goes up the middle all the way up to the top. And then out from the shaft, there are three branches that come out on each side. And at the top of the shaft, there was a little bowl or there was a little lamp, and that's where they put the olive oil in. And as they put the olive oil in there, they would put a little cloth wick down in there, and then they would light the wick, and then the wick would burn because it was saturated with the olive oil. And so that's what brought light to the holy place. What are the materials of the candlestick? The materials of the candlestick. Well, the candlestick and all its vessels were, if you go to that next slide, please, were made from pure gold. They were, the Bible says it was a talent of gold, which was about 75 pounds of pure gold. Now, this candlestick, you know, a lot of times when you see things of this nature, especially in our day and time, what do? They melt it down and then they pour it into a mold, right? And then they let the mold get hard. Well, the candlestick, according to what the scripture tells us, it was beaten into one single piece. Man, that was a lot of work if you think about it. You know, they had to beat this candlestick. You know, it was one piece of gold, and they had to beat it into the shape that it was in. And, you know, it was a beautiful sight to behold. And so we see that the candlestick, again, used olive oil, which was used to light the holy place. Now, what was the position of the candlestick? Well, the position of the candlestick, if you can go to that next slide, please. The position of the candlestick. So again, we are walking in to the holy place. As we go into the holy place, on the left side, or what was known as the south side of the holy place, that's where the candlestick was located. And then on the right side was a table of showbread. And then as you went back through, you see the altar of incense. So that was where it was located. Now let's look at real quick the function of the candlestick. We see that, again, as I pointed out, the holy place was dark. You know, it was, you couldn't see anything in there. And so the candlestick was the only source of light in this place. And it provided the necessary light that was needed to illuminate the room. Because the candlestick was to burn continually, it was essential for the priest to always make sure that the wick was trimmed and burning. You know, we think of the saying, trimmed and burning, right? That the priest, it was his responsibility to make sure that it didn't go out, to make sure that the fire didn't go out. So twice a day, they would trim the wicks. And this is the golden candlestick. Let's look at the New Testament significance of the golden candlestick. The first thing we see is that all human beings are in darkness and need to be illuminated. Oh my goodness. Jesus said in John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Now, I don't know about you, but I know before I came to Christ, and somebody has asked the question, does anything good happen out in the streets after 2 a.m.? Well, if you ask me before I came to Christ, I would say that's when it just started popping off. That's when it started popping off, man. After 2. Why? Because you knew that things out there that for the most part you probably shouldn't have been doing, that's when it was happening, after 2 o'clock. But you know, somebody answered that question, you know, what is out there? You know, you can go, and usually, man, you know, I'm starting to shut down about 10:30, 11 o'clock. So, you know, I don't know. I have no idea what's happening out there unless I see it on the news. Right. So somebody said, you know, what's out there? And I heard the reply came, there's only 3 things out there: death, dirt, and destruction. That's, you know, there's nothing but, now I don't know, man, because I'm not out there. You know, unless I'm coming from the airport, you know, on a late flight or something, then I might ride through somewhere. But other than that, I don't know. But that's what somebody told me. Now, maybe some of y'all, no, I know nobody here this morning. I know nobody here can help old pastor out and tell me, because y'all, no, let me be quiet. Let me be quiet, right? But Jesus said that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. You know, I heard the story about a nomad who was hungry, woke up in the middle of the night, and he had a big basket full of dates, and he lit a candle. And as he lit the candle, he took a bite out of the first date, and there was a worm in it. And he said, oh, man. And so he threw it away. He took the second date and bit it, and there was a worm in it. He said, ah, and he threw it away. He took the third bite and bit it, and there was a worm in it, and he threw it away. He didn't want to waste all his dates, so he blew out the candle and ate the rest of the basket. Right? You know, the light shines on our sin. The light shines on our wrongdoing. And Jesus said that we love darkness, especially those of us or those who don't know Christ, that they love darkness more than light because their deeds are evil. You know, I remember, you know, again, this is before I came to Christ. You know, I was partying at somebody's house down in, we called it the bottom. You know about that, don't you, Emil? All right. And I remember we were sitting there, and all of a sudden the power went out. And it became dark for like 2 minutes. And when the power came back on, man, I had a glass, and there was roaches all over it, man. There was roaches everywhere. And I thought to myself, right, they only come out in the dark. They only come out in the dark. And you know, that's the point that Jesus is trying to tell us. He said that he came to illuminate the darkness because men love darkness. And had Jesus not come, you know, we have people who are philanthropists who do good things. We have people who are do-gooders who do good things. But if you read Romans chapter 3, basically your heart is evil until Christ comes in, until Christ changes it. You can do all the good that you want, but Isaiah said that your righteousness is just a filthy rag. So until you have the true light that comes inside of you, that eventually we always go back to that place where we try to hide because we love the darkness. We might not want to confess that. We might not want to admit it, but we love the darkness. And so we see human beings are in darkness, and they need to be illuminated. The second thing that we point out as we meditate on this candlestick and is this. Christ is the light who illuminates. Jesus is the light that illuminates. John 8 in verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You know, I think of whoever did this is a genius. I wish I'd have did it. I wish I'd have thought of this. That all of us have these smartphones, right? And on these smartphones, and again, I don't know who thought of this, but it was a great idea. They put a flashlight on the phone. Wow. You know, I mean, at my house, the only time that, you know, basically I pulled out the flashlight is when the power went out. And sometimes, man, you went to turn the flashlight on, the battery's done corroded in the flashlight, right? So all that time, you know, you had a flashlight and say, man, you know, if something happens, I'm good, you know, because I can just turn my light on. And then you go and your flashlight don't work. But look at this phone, man. This phone, you can, wherever you go. I go down to my basement sometime, want to get something out of my freezer. You know, my eyes are getting a little bad, so I can't see everything that's in there. Pop, I pull out my phone and turn on the flashlight. Right? At night, like Sunday mornings, you know, I was here about 6:30. So I get up and have to go in the room, and my wife is sleeping, and I don't want to wake her up. So guess, flashlight. Neon light, stop. No, just kidding. Right? It's amazing. But what does that flashlight do? It shines in the dark places, right? And Jesus said that I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Tabernacle, Golden Candlestick. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Tabernacle, anchoredinjesus.org, and request The Tabernacle, Golden Candlestick. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Tabernacle, Golden Candlestick, or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, Let Your Glory Fill This Place, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books, resources, and how to order. Visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.